Hello and welcome to tonight's edition of Four Corners with me, Susan Madaris. The top Lebanese army officer and his bodyguard were killed on Wednesday in a powerful car bomb. Brigadier General Francois El Hadj, head of the military operations, was killed in the blast along with his bodyguard. The Red Cross said 8 people were wounded in the blast, however, none of them seriously. The attack was the first in its kind against the Lebanese military, seen as a unified force in the country, marred in its worst political crisis since the end of the civil war. Lebanon has been without a president since November 23rd, when Emile Lahoud ended his term with rival parties unable to agree on a successor. Have a look at this report. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our panel of analysts and see what this latest development means for the future of Lebanon.
A Lebanese army general has been killed in an explosion in a Christian suburb of Beirut in Babda. Brigadier General Francois El Hadj was head of operations in the Lebanese army. The explosion took place in a heavily fortified area. Security sources said at least 4 other people were killed and dozens were wounded in the Lebanese Christian town east of Beirut on Wednesday. The blast was at the site of Lebanon's presidential palace. One source said it was caused by an explosive device. Witnesses said several cars were ablaze, which occurred early in the morning. On Monday, Lebanon's parliament speaker postponed a parliamentary election to December 17th. The 8th delay of a vote repeatedly put off over differences between the pro-Western coalition and the opposition. The feuding camps agreed last week on General Michel Suleiman, a Maronite Christian, as a consensus candidate for the post, which has been vacant since November 24th after the term of Emile Lahoud ended. Electing Suleiman would ease Lebanon's worst political crisis since the 1975-1990 civil war. His nomination followed intense mediation efforts to resolve the crisis. Arab and Western states have expressed concern that a prolonged vacuum in the presidency could further destabilize Lebanon, which has seen some sporadic deadly sectarian clashes early this year. Lebanon has also seen several assassinations of other political figures since the killing of former Prime Minister Rafiq al-Hariri in the February of 2005.
To get to the heart of the matter from London, we are joined by Mr. George Asseli. He's the chairman for the Center for Lebanese Studies. From Beirut, Mr. Ibrahim Mousavi, editor-in-chief of the Al-Intiqad Weekly, is joining us. Also on the phone from Florida, United States, Dr. Dawood Khairullah, an international lawyer and a political analyst, is with us. I'd like to start with our guest in Beirut. A warm welcome to you, Mr. Mousavi. And the question that's been on everybody's mind, why was 54-year-old Francois El Hadj a target?
Well, actually, everybody now here is mourning the death of Francois El Hadj. And this is a very tragic event for Lebanon, for the Lebanese. And this is one moment where the Lebanese should all stand a little bit in order to think about the future of their country seriously. Why isn't enough what happened so far in the country that they need now to go and think about what's really happening? No, this is not the situation. But actually what happened today is very tragic because it kills the hope. This is a message of those who killed Francois El Hadj, because you're talking about the military institution that has always been intact, the military institution that is being entrusted with the security and the safety and the protection of the people. When it is targeted in this very tragic way, I believe it's a message to kill the hope of the Lebanese, and to say that there are always fingers that will meddle in the Lebanese affairs in a way to topple all the efforts to bring the situation into a complete resolution.
To kill the hope of the Lebanese people and the Lebanese nation. That's one speculation. Also, speculation on possible motives behind the assassination range from the political as a bid to derail the election of General Soleiman to the revenge for the attacks on Nahr al-Bared. For our viewers, you probably know that Mr. El Hadj was in charge of operations for the Battle of Nahr al-Bared, which was widely seen as a successful campaign for the Lebanese army. So my question to you, our guest in London, Mr. Asseli, is do you think that this attack can be traced back to his role in putting down the al-Qaeda-inspired Fatah al-Islam?
Well, it could be. This is obviously the first conclusion that one will come to. If one considers that Commander or General Al-Hajj was the commander of the unit that actually attacked Nahr al-Bared, or rather delivered the Nahr al-Bared camp from the Islamists, then obviously the conclusion is that this is whoever was behind the attacks in Nahr al-Bared, i.e. whether you call them Al-Qaeda or you call them whatever you want to call them, this could be considered as a revenge against that. Now, there are obviously other theories. It depends who you talk to in Lebanon. Some people say this is the same people who are trying to destabilize the system in Lebanon, who are trying to avoid the election of a president, who are trying to divide the army, who are trying to maintain the status quo of non-stability in Lebanon. It depends who you talk to. Some people point the finger east, some people point the finger south. So where is the real answer? Time will tell. I hope time will tell. But for the last few years, after all the assassinations that we've had, no conclusion has actually happened. We have never heard who has killed the ex-prime minister. We have never heard who has killed the various MPs, the various journalists, the various politicians that have been assassinated in the last 3 years. Now, whether we will know this time, I hope one day we will know. But until now, nobody seems to know.
Mr. Asseli, I'd like to continue with you. As you rightly mentioned yourself, there's always been a lot of finger-pointing to the ongoing assassinations in Lebanon, notably recently in the past 2 or 3 years. Why do you think that the government of Fuad Siniora has failed to arrest or perhaps claim at least who was responsible for these attacks? And usually they don't go as far as mere speculations, as you say. Why? Mr. Asseli, my question is addressed to you. Do you have my voice?
Hello.
I'd like to pose that exact question to our guest in Beirut, Mr. Mousavi. Why has this issue been prevailing time and time again regarding assassination plots? Everybody's pointing the finger. There's always speculations, but no concrete answer. What's wrong with Fuad Siniora's security system?
Well, let me tell you first that this is the first time in Lebanon that the fingers has not been pointed directly to Syria, and Syria has not been accused of this assassination, because ever since Marwan Hamadi has been attempted against his life, an assassination attempt, that the 14th March bloc, the Siniora government and the others, they pinpoint and point their fingers to Syria. This is the first time that they didn't say that. The thing that we have to say here in Lebanon, the protection, the safety, and the security in Lebanon is being given immunity through the political consensus and the political agreement. If you don't have a kind of political consensus and agreement in the country, then you cannot have this kind of immunity for the safety and the protection and the security. No matter how important the military and the security apparatus can be, you should have a kind of political agreement that would like give the immunity for this. Here, I believe that Siniora government should be held responsible for all of what's really happening here. Many assassinations has taken place. Now everything is being opened now. The Lebanese are without real security. And this government has failed to pinpoint or to accuse, just like what you said, to accuse anyone, to bring any tangible evidence, to give any concrete evidence about the accusation that it gives, let alone that they were not able to arrest anyone of the assassins and the killers and those who are destabilizing the country. I believe they should be held responsible for what really happened. And I believe if it's a responsible government, they should have resigned from the very first assassination that took place. Why they are not doing it? Before, they used to say, we don't have any control on the military apparatus. They have built their own military apparatus. They have poured a lot of budgets and money into their all this military apparatus and this military functions, and they couldn't do anything so far. I believe they should be held responsible, and if they cannot do anything, they cannot give any answer to the Lebanese, what they are doing as a government. They should leave, I believe. This is the least thing that they can do.
Dr. Khairullah in Florida is on the line with us as well. What Mr. Mousavi is saying is that in the wake of previous attacks, the government and also parties associated with it pointed the finger of blame to elements outside Lebanon that they accused of undermining the political system in that country. So why then has no one been charged with any crime related to previous attacks by the government or its security forces?
I agree with the speaker just ahead of me. The government, with assuming responsibility for the security of the country, is either able to carry out its function successfully, or it should leave room or let others who can do it come in and do the job that needs to be done. The issue about the government that has been camouflaged by it doesn't have the support of everyone, no, that is not it is not a convincing argument. Now, whether there are foreign forces who are behind this, it is more likely than not. The hand that put the trigger might be internal, one reason or another, but definitely there are several scenarios. The one scenario that was mentioned earlier, that it could very well be that Al-Qaeda is still alive in one way or another in Lebanon, and it is taking a revenge. The other possibility is that there are some outside forces who would like to drag the military institution into a clash with the resistance and would like to change its ideology and its leadership and whatnot. And Mr. Francois Haj, the General Haj, was known to be a nationalist figure, pro-institution figure, who was very concerned about not dividing the army or dividing the country in one way or another. And he was a little bit close, as it has been claimed, to General Aoun also. So the forces who really would like to see a clash, if we cannot disarm Hezbollah, let them turn their weapons inside. And if we don't have candidates to do that because we could not succeed in having a Shia-Sunni split, so let us mobilize the army against them. The ones who would want that objective might be another possibility. Scientifically, it's very difficult to determine. Dr. Khairullah,
who are the ones that want that possibility? Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Israel and the allies of Israel, and who would want to primarily disarm Hezbollah? Who has the basic interest in disarming Hezbollah? And who is being mobilized and focusing on this objective? The Americans admitted that there is not a more compelling objective than disarming Hezbollah.
Let me go to Beirut, Mr. Mousavi. Dr. Khairullah said that Mr. Al-Haj was a nationalist. Also, reports indicate he was considered to be an independent actor within the Lebanese army, was also seen as a person close to the Mugawama or resistance, especially given comments made during the July war. So do you think that this is a correct assessment to make of Al-Haj, and perhaps the perpetrators of this crime were elements outside Lebanon, this time, however, not being Syria?
Well, actually, yeah, indeed. I totally agree with what Dr. Khairullah has just said. He's a nationalist figure, and he is well known for his pledge to preserve the same dogma and ideology of the Lebanese army. We all know that the Americans, they have tried a lot. I mean, when I say about the Americans, we talk about the American administration and their ambassador in Lebanon, Jeffrey Feltman. They talked openly about changing the belief and the ideology of the Lebanese army, because it's well known that the army talks always about the Israeli enemy and the Israeli occupation as an enemy. They don't want that. They want to impose like treaties and security arrangements similar to that of the 17 May Treaty that was imposed on Lebanon after or during the invasion in 1982. So General Brigadier General Francois Al-Haj is well known for his like integrity, for his straightforwardness, for his being nationalist. And also he was like, yeah, he was a friend of the resistance. He was a friend of General Aoun. Actually, General Aoun, the head of the Free Patriotic Movement, he almost cried and wept while he was talking about his assassination. And let me say that there has been an attempt against his life, and his car was once targeted with a booby trap, I mean, in South Lebanon a few years ago by the Israelis. So I believe, yes, I mean, the Israelis have every interest, and those who favor the Israeli interference in Lebanon, they have every reason and they have every benefit in targeting and killing him.
Mr. Mousavi, I want to continue with you since you're in Beirut. The recent attack was quite sophisticated, the location at least, and took place in an area which is ought to be heavily fortified. There were embassies around, there were a lot of security buildings around where this blast was, where it occurred. How do you think such an elaborate attack can take place near the Presidential Palace and the Ministry of Defense without anyone being implicated? Mr. Mousavi?
Well, actually, yeah, this is a very very sophisticated issue, and this is very intricate and this very thorny question to ask. Actually, everybody now is in a shock. This is what I was trying to say, that they want to say no one is in safe place here and they could target anyone. That's why I said at the beginning they are trying to kill the hope of every Lebanese that they could be secure. When the man who is in task with the security and the protection of every Lebanese, you're talking about the top general in the Lebanese army who is the head of the operations, who has like done a lot in order to preserve the integrity of the country, who has fought a lot against those, even inside Lebanon, who tried to go into partition and division in the country, who fought against the thing that happened in Nahr al-Barid, and he was successful in doing this, who has enmity and who has a stubborn and willful determination against the Israeli occupation. When he is targeted this way, they are trying to kill the hope. This is a question. I mean, I believe this is something that has been conducted by high-tech people with high-tech equipments, people with high intelligence resources to be able to know his movements and in order to be able to move freely. But I believe it should, I mean, from the things that we have up till now, I believe this operation has been like plotted or has been planned since a long time ago. It could not have happened between one night or another. It seems that he has been followed. Otherwise, they couldn't have detected and spotted his movements. He is a military man, and it happened in a highly fortified place, like you said.
Let me go to London. Mr. Asseli, do you have my voice? My next question is addressed to you, and I'd like to get a reaction to what Mr. Mousavi just said. Can you hear me, London?
Now I can hear you, but I haven't heard anything before.
Okay, well, I'm just going to give you an update of my previous question. The recent attacks seem to be very sophisticated in its kind, notably the location that it was that it occurred. Mr. Al-Haj was near the Presidential Palace. He was near the Defense Ministry. And this is a very heavy fortified security zone that we're talking about. So why do you think no one has been implicated?
I'm sorry, I don't understand your question. No one was implicated?
No one has been implicated, and there were no news about perhaps any security measures taking place during this time, during his assassination, considering the fact that the location of where this assassination took place was very, very fortified, near the Presidential Palace, near the Defense Ministry.
Well, the assassination took place in a village called Babda, which is exactly, as you say, where the Presidential Palace is and where the Ministry of Defense is next to it. But, I mean, it's not exactly next door to the Ministry of Defense or the Presidential Palace. It took place in the middle of the village, in front of the municipality. Now, in Lebanon, we have had lots of assassinations that have taken place in other areas that have been soi-disant or considered to be under proper guard, etc. But obviously our system is not good enough, and our security system is not good enough to prevent such attacks. Now, as the gentleman said earlier, it was organized by a sophisticated organization, and they have been must have been following the general for some time in order to determine exactly at what time he leaves his house and at what time he sort of takes his car to go to the Ministry of Defense, which is only about 10 minutes away or 15 minutes away by car from where he lives, in the same way as other assassinations have taken place, like last year, 2 years ago, when MP Gibran Twaini came back from Paris. The next day he was assassinated, like the other MP, Antoine Rarib, was assassinated a few months ago. Again, he had just come back from a long trip abroad. So people have been following, an organization has been following the path of all these people to be assassinated, and it is extremely well organized. And unfortunately, our security system and our security people are not probably sophisticated enough to prevent such occurrences.
All right, thank you for those comments. We're going to take a short break right now. A news and brief is coming up next here on Press TV. When we come back, join us on Four Corners as we aim to discuss the political future and the upcoming elections in Lebanon. What's next and who's next? And will December 17th be faithful for the people and the nation of Lebanon? Stay tuned and find out. Welcome back. You're watching Four Corners, and we're discussing the recent assassination of Lebanon's top army general, François Al-Haj. 54-year-old Al-Haj was assassinated along with one of his bodyguards near the fortified region in Lebanon, where the presidential palace was located, and also the defense ministry. During the first half of our program, we discussed whether or not the current government of Fouad Siniora has failed in providing security for even its top military aides or not, and what all of this means for the future of Lebanon. We'd like to focus our second half of our program on the upcoming elections, and I'd like to go straight to our guest in Beirut, Mr. Ibrahim Mousavi, editor-in-chief of Al-Intiqad Weekly. Mr. Mousavi, considering the fact that Al-Haj was tipped to replace Army General Michel Soleiman, the frontrunner to become Lebanon's next president, will this make Soleiman's presidency less likely at this point in time?
Well, no, actually, I believe this is not going to affect the presidency itself. I believe the problem has to do with the political impasse and the political stalemate that we live in Lebanon. But there is something that I would like to draw the attention to. This kind of assassination has taken place and has happened after an escalation in the political tune of the 14th March camp. They were threatening that if they are not going to accept the amendment, the constitution amendment, they are going to go again to the same conditions that they have put earlier about electing a new president with half plus one of the Lebanese parliament. I don't believe that at this moment that General Michel Soleiman has lost his hope or has lost his chance to be the president of Lebanon. I believe things are still at the same point, but we have to see what kind of repercussions are going to take place vis-a-vis the interference of other forces in Lebanon. It's the first time in Lebanon that they are talking now about that the complexities of the internal is superior to the complexities of the outside or of the outside and the exterior. So the thing now has to do with these complexities that are taking place about the build-up of the country, the government, the premier himself, who is going to be the premier, and what about the portfolios and about the cabinet seats, how are they going to be allocated?
Mr. Mousavi, this might...
Understanding all these things, we will be able to reach to a solution.
Right, Mr. Mousavi, you say that... this latest assassination will not have a straightforward effect on the nomination of Mr. Soleiman to be Lebanon's next president, but do you think that there are repercussions and there are messages for Mr. or General Soleiman's successor as army general, perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the thing that I was trying to say. But when we talk about the Brigadier General Al-Haj, we did say about his past and about his beliefs and about his political stances. We don't talk about political stances when it has to do with the military. But he's a nationalist figure, and he is well known to preserving the belief and the ideology of the army. And I did say something about the American interference. They said it openly, they want to change the belief and the ideology of the army. And the commander of the army plays a pivotal role in this regard. That's why I believe the assassination of Haj would make like a low margin. I mean, I don't believe, I'm not aware of any figure, of any general, of any officer in the army who has like the same attributes or the same positions of Francois Al-Haj. So that's why I believe the kind of repercussions has to do with the future of this security or this military institution that has always been the unifying force in Lebanon. I believe this is a hit to the Lebanese army as much as to the Lebanese people, as much as to the Lebanese integrity as a whole.
From New York, we are joined on the phone by Mr. Ziad K. Abdul Noor. He's the president of the U.S. Committee for a Free Lebanon. Mr. Abdul Noor, welcome to tonight's Four Corners, and I want to get your reactions to Mr. Mousavi's comments. Mr. Mousavi notes that American interference is the main cause of the assassination which took place on the life of General Al-Haj, and it's the Americans and perhaps outside interference that want to change the mentality of the army and the future of the army in general. I want to have your views on that and your response. Would you agree?
I totally disagree, and what I think is happening is a clear message to Michel Sleiman from the Syrians that we can get to anybody, and if you sway away from what we want, if you become a president elected by March 14, that's what's going to happen to you. It's very clear. It is intimidation at its best, a clear message to the future president, Sleiman, as to who runs the show. The show is still run by Syria and its proxies, and that's how it stays. Very clear cut. Nothing to do with the Americans, with the conspiracy theory, with Mossad, with CIA, and with God. It's a pure direct effect, impact by the Syrians and their proxies as to what happens if people don't follow their message. Simple, loud, and clear. And anybody who thinks otherwise is either fooling himself or has a different agenda. This is the agenda set. Nothing will change, and that's what's going to happen.
Mr. Mousavi, I want you to give a chance to you to respond to those comments, considering the fact that General Al-Haj was known for his alliance, perhaps, with the opposition and his friendliness with Syria. Do you think this is a just claim to make?
Well, actually, what I want to say here, actually, I didn't say that the Americans are the main factors or the main interference, and that's why he was killed. I said they were interfering to change the Lebanese army dogma or belief or ideology, but this does not necessarily mean that they are the ones who are behind killing him. Let me make it clear in this. I want to be, like, objective in my analysis. I don't want to give clear-cut things. Only God at this point, or those who did it or can bring us the evidence, they did it. I don't know how Mr. Ziad can say or can talk with this self-confidence as if he has grabbed all the evidence and everything that has taken place there,
well,
that he says
well,
it's clear-cut,
well,
simple,
well,
direct,
well,
the Syrians
exactly
are behind it or whatever. I mean,
ground,
if he can say that, he has to bring us one single evidence about it. He's only like conjunctioning in his analysis
and
not defending Syria. But
he
is the friend of the Syrians, I mean. How can Syria possibly kill? It's a lie here. I mean, I can't understand it. Would you tell that your child in order to please your wife?
Hang on, Mr. Musavi, hang on. I'm gonna give you a chance to finish. Mr. Abdul Noor, go ahead. I want to get your comments.
They use and abuse everybody, and they're willing to kill anybody who stands their way. Now, Aoun is very much used by them. This idiot Aoun is being used by them, and if he keeps on like this, they will kill him too.
Mr. Abdul Noor, what do you think will be the tangible impact of this latest attack on the ongoing political crisis, which has brought the country to a complete halt right now at this point in time?
Well, the impact is very simple, okay? We cannot keep on like this. You know, as a matter of fact, I don't believe that there will be elections anytime soon, because it's in the interest of people there to keep the chaos running and Syria running the show. Very simple. I mean, you know, they are laughing at everybody. They're making jokes of everybody. And they're thinking, all these guys, local politicians in Lebanon, they think they have any degree of power or knowledge. They have neither power nor knowledge. What I call it is quarrels without stakes and power without responsibilities. That's exactly what's happening in Lebanon. And you know what? Let me tell you one thing, okay? I know the Syrian psyche very well, okay? These guys have no friends. They will use anybody to stay in power and get there. They used Hariri, they used Jumblat, now they're using Aoun, and they'll use anybody. If anybody thinks, any Lebanese, true nationalistic Lebanese, thinks that he can befriend the Syrians or outsmart the Syrians, he is being, with all due respect, delusional. Now, as to why, how I know these things, I know much more than you will ever know. What's happening on the ground, behind the scenes, and everything.
Would you agree with that assessment? I want to go to our guest in London, Mr. Asaili. My question is addressed to you. Do you think that Syria is responsible for this latest assassination? Earlier, you mentioned in your comments, it depends on who you ask. And apparently, this is how it seems. It does depend on who you ask. But there is a clear-cut agenda for outside elements, and perhaps these outside elements are... Do you have my voice, London?
Sorry? Hello?
All right. I want to go to Beirut, Mr. Mousavi. Apparently, we're facing some technical deficiencies with our guest in London. We're going to overcome that. Let me go to Beirut. What kind of message do you think this latest attack is giving to the military of Lebanon and the Lebanese army?
That basically the military is still under the boot of Syria. And Syria runs the show, and they can get to anybody in the military, Hajj or Sleiman or anybody.
All right. Hang on there, Mr. Abdul Noor. Let me address this question to Mr. Mousavi. I'll get your response. Go ahead, Mr. Mousavi.
Well, actually, I believe this is a message of destabilization to the whole situation in Lebanon. This is a message, I believe, for all of the leaders of Lebanon in order to come back to their senses and to be able to start a real direct engagement in order to reach to the solution, in order to make the amendments they want to do, in order to elect Michel Sleiman as the president. I believe this is a message to kill the hope of all of the Lebanese. When they target the military institution, the security institution, I believe they want to leave the people without hope. I mean, and this is a lesson that we should learn very carefully and we should understand.
You know, as a Lebanese patriot, as a Lebanese American, and as a Lebanese nationalist, I think there is no problem between the Lebanese themselves. Everything can be resolved. Whatever situation, whatever view you have, whatever religious you have, the problem is Syria, has always been, will always be. As long, and I keep saying, as long as Syria is a power broker in Lebanon, we will never see peace, we will never see anything happening. And they will play the politicians one against the other, right versus left, Christian versus Muslim, versus Jews, versus whatever, to stay in power and to stay in control. They will use the military, they will use billionaires, they will use politicians, they will use anybody to their aims. This is the essence of the Ba'ath regime. Same story. They're always like this, and they will never change. As long as Bashar al-Assad is in power, unfortunately, nobody right now from the foreign powers, neither France, nor the U.S., nor Israel, nor anybody, want him out of power. If anyone of them wanted him out of power, we would not have been here.
this guy now, right now, Bashar, I call him this guy because he's a rookie. He's being emboldened by saying that he has the green light by the foreign powers to do in Lebanon whatever he wants. So he's back showing his intimidation and showing how smart he is. We know the whole story. We know who funds him, who backs him, how he works, and how he gets the thing. We know everything. That's exactly what is happening in Lebanon. And anybody who will tell you otherwise is, with all due respect, delusional.
Mr. Abdul Noor, I want to get your views on the fact that why has no one been charged with any crime in Lebanon regarding the assassination plots, regarding
because
the ongoing
the
in turmoil,
because the government
doesn't seem to be very sure about who's behind these assassination plots. I'm sorry, I didn't
because
get your answer.
Emil Ahoud, the former president of Lebanon, was providing a cover for everybody. And now the Syrians want to put there somebody, whoever it is, whether March 14 or not, to show him to the first that they are in power and they will do whatever they want to provide a cover. They don't want a tribunal, because if there is a tribunal, they are cooked.
They are toast. But is this an issue that the Lebanese government is sure of itself?
What issue? Repeat that.
The issue that Syria is responsible for the ongoing turmoil in Lebanon.
I talk to every single Lebanese politician every day. They all think like that. They all know that. Some of them can state it. Some of them cannot, because if they state it, they are dead meat. If they killed Rafiel Hariri, who's worth $16 billion, who the security system are $50 million, and don't tell me some of the Syrians who killed him. If they get him, they can get to anybody. If they get this Hajj, they can get to anybody. As long as you're in Lebanon, they can get to anybody. But you know what? Maybe one day we will get to Bashar also.
Mr. Mousavi, would you agree with those comments, and considering the fact that no one has been named, no Syrian elements have been found, and nobody has been charged on the part of the government of Fuad Seniora, do you think that there is concrete evidence, or are we making our assumptions on speculations?
Well, those who are saying this, they have to produce or provide us with evidence or speculation, with evidence or proofs, not with the speculations and generalizations and this language, this is an idiot and this is
another idiot.
I believe we should like respect people, especially when he talks about General Aoun. I'm not here to defend anyone. And he's like, he's always jumping in order to not to allow me to continue my talk. And I believe what I'm saying, I have to say and to continue saying, I mean, he's saying that Syria is omnipotent and omnipresent as if he's talking about a god.
If Syria is so influential,
why they are fighting it? As if Syria is a fate in Lebanon. Syria is not a fate in Lebanon. The Syrians are out of Lebanon. And they said publicly, we are not going to come back to Lebanon. And they say we have no interest. And if he says that, he always on a daily basis talks to every single responsible in Lebanon and to every single official in Lebanon. Who are those officials he talks to?
Mr. Abdul Noor, I'm going to give a chance for you to respond if you just let Mr. Mousavi finish.
I believe he is only talking to one part. I have been listening to him all of the time, and we have been listening to him, and we respect what he says, though we disagree with it. But we give him a chance to say. So he has to give us the chance. I would like to believe him, and I would like to be convinced, but he has to bring evidence. He cannot simply cast the accusations right and left and say that the international community is not interested in supporting Lebanon. The international community is not interested in stopping Syria. Syria is killing this and killing that without providing us with any shred of evidence about that.
Sure,
I believe the Syrians are out, and now they are managing their affairs.
If there is a United Nations,
they have to try to do something about
it. We will bring you the evidence. If you can allow us to have a tribunal,
when are we going to bring this evidence?
The point is that they are not even allowing a tribunal to be able to bring forth the evidence. You cannot bring the evidence
the
if you don't have a tribunal.
Council, and it's there. The
if
tribunal
you can
is
allow
there.
Us to give you a tribunal,
and there is,
to,
and there, and there is someone who is assigned to continue. Premier Suat there. And they have been conducting investigations for 2 years. And the head of the military apparatus and security apparatus in Lebanon, the heads, they are in the jail. If you say that General Lahoud was covering everyone who is doing assassinations or like proxy to Syria, why couldn't he bring his like friends, Jamil Sayed and others from the prisons? They are under the custodianship or in the prisons of this government. And this government was not able to bring one evidence or could not arrest one criminal who was doing the assassinations. You only say Syria.
No. Lahoud is totally part of the Syrian state. Mahoud is more Syrian than the Syrians themselves. Lahoud is being bought and sold by Syria. Lahoud is a total puppet of Syria.
This is bold rhetoric. I mean, when you talk about more Syrian, the Syrians.
Gentlemen, hang on. Let me just move on to what happened to the military. I want to go to our guest in London, Mr. George Asseli. Hopefully you have my voice right now. The army was regarded by many as the only political institution within that it was neutral and had provided stability for all of Lebanon in very hard times. So do you think that this is an attack on a core Lebanese institution which does not benefit any specific side within the political divide?
Sure. I mean, the army has shown over the last 10 years at least that it is neutral within the political system in Lebanon. It has shown that during the very serious disturbances that took place in Beirut and elsewhere, that thank God it has remained neutral and it has not taken any sides, as opposed to what happened during the 15-year civil war of the 70s and 80s. Certainly this attack was probably meant to test the neutrality of the army. Now, there are accusations, I've been hearing bribes of conversations, that the General Al-Hajj was considered to be on the side of General Aoun and therefore, sort of pro-Syrian, as it were. I don't know whether you can call him pro-Syrian. I do not believe these. I think the army in general, the officers of the army have been totally outside the political system, and they do not follow any political party. Now, what will happen now, God knows, I still believe that under the very good command of General Michel Sleiman, it will not disintegrate or it will not be left to people to interfere within the army command. Now, I've been listening to Mr. Abdennour and Mr. Mousavi, throwing accusations left, right, and center on who was responsible. I understand what Mr. Mousavi is saying, that there are no proof. I can also understand what Mr. Abdennour is saying, that the accusation goes to Syria, that it is Syria that is behind all what is happening in Lebanon. Now, the facts are that until now, there has been no actual proof of who is behind it. Now, you can speculate. Today, I was talking to people, politicians and non-politicians in Lebanon, who were saying that this is what's happened today is Al-Qaeda, because General Al-Hajj was responsible for eliminating Fath al-Islam from Nahr al-Barid. There are those who say it is Syria, because Syria is taking advantage of this situation in order to destabilize the situation in Lebanon in order to delay further the possibility of the election of a president, and so on and so forth. Now, where the truth is, it will remain to be seen.
Let me go to Mr. Abdennour, our guest on the phone in New York. Do you think, Mr. Abdennour, considering the fact that the military and the army has been known for its neutral stance and being a neutral figure, so to say, do you think the role of the military has changed since the leadership vacuum in Lebanon?
Look, at the end of the day, the Syrians want to prove, listen to me, I'm not obsessed by Syrians, I'm talking facts. We can prove anything to you if there is a tribunal. They never allowed the tribunal to happen, neither the former President Lahoud, nor the Syrians, nor anybody, because it's not in their interest of a tribunal. They're trying to do everything to avoid the tribunal. Usually, when you want to prove facts, you have to have a venue to prove that. We never had the proper venue to be able to prove it. That's number one. Number two, basically, what's happening is that the Syrians today, it's a clear message to Sleiman that, you know what, even if you come in with March 14, etc., remember who calls the shots here. We call the shots. Your army, the whole sovereignty of Lebanon still works for us. We can run the show. We can get to anybody. And if you sway a bit from what we want, we will get you too. This is the message, loud and clear.
All right, let me just get your final words, Mr. Abdul Noor. Let's talk about the current situation. Do you think that political parties will come up with a candidate this week? The candidacy has been postponed for 8 times so far. So do you think this time around we're going to see a consensus candidate on the part of different political parties inside Lebanon?
Well, frankly, maybe, yes, maybe no, but that's not the important thing. Because look at the timing of that. Why did they kill Hajj now? Why not a month ago? Why not a month ago when the issue of Sleiman was not even an issue? This shows you even more. Right now, most probably, Sleiman is going to come in, but the message by the Syrians is loud and clear.
All right. Let me get Mr. Mousavi's final comments. We're running out of time. Mr. Mousavi, your final comments. What impact is this leadership vacuum having on Lebanon? And a lot of analysts believe that this is actually the most important thing that's prevailing inside Lebanon, the leadership vacuum.
Well, yes, indeed. The leadership vacuum and the absence of a president for the republic is a real serious critical situation that we
all
have
right,
to try
to get out of. All right,
and
then we'll have to just hope for the best. I'm very sorry. I have to cut you off there. We are out of time on tonight's Four Corners. From London, we were joined by Mr. George Asseli, chairman for the Center of Lebanese Studies, Beirut. Mr. Ibrahim Mousavi, editor-in-chief of Al Intiqad Weekly, was joining us on the phone during our second half. From New York, Mr. Ziad K. Abdul Noor, president of the U.S. Committee for a Free Lebanon. And during our first half, Dr. Dawood Khairullah was joining us from the U.S. state of Florida. He was an international lawyer and political analyst. As a viewer, thank you for staying with us and watching tonight's Four Corners. You can send us your questions and comments to fourcorners@presstv.ir. We're looking forward to them. Until tomorrow night, in another edition of Four Corners, goodbye.